daughters, there is a passage of scripture found in the book of Revelation, the 3rd chapter, verse 20 to 22. Revelation chapter 3, beginning at verse 20, you'll find these words: "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, yes, and will dwell with him, and he with me. Yes. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Our message is entitled, "The Handle is on the Inside." Amen. The handle is on the inside. In this epistle by the Apostle John, the last living of the 12 disciples, who has been exiled to the Isle of Patmos, writes in the 1st chapter this account. In verse 10, he says, "I was in the Spirit, yes, sir, on the Lord's day." Yes, sir. The Lord's day, perhaps, and we take that to mean Sunday. Yes. Not the Sabbath, but Sunday, the day of Jesus' resurrection. The first day of the week, the Lord days, I was in the Spirit, influenced, empowered, controlled by the Spirit of God. He said, "And I heard a trumpet behind me, a voice that sounded clear, distinct, and loud, like a trumpet, saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last." He says to John, "What you see, write in the book and send it unto the 7 churches which are in Asia." Then he names them and says, "The church of Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea." It is the church of Laodicea where we draw our attention. Now, when John realizes that it is the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, "I've seen him in his resurrected, risen body." Said he had a garment down to his feet, paps of gold around his waist. His hairs were white like wool, yeah, and white as snow. His eyes were flames of fire. His feet like burnished brass. His voice of many waters. In his right hand he had 7 stars. And out of his mouth went a 2-edged sword. And his countenance was so bright that it was brighter than the sun. He said, "When I saw him, I fell out on my face to see his glory. But he put his hand on me," that right hand, the hand of blessing, the one that held the 7 stars. And he said, "Fear not, I am the first. I'm the last." It's Jesus. "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive and forevermore. Amen. And have the keys to hell and of death." It's Jesus. John Wright. Write to the churches. If you read this account, you'll see these 7 churches of Asia. It seems as though Jesus had a problem with all of the churches except the church of Philadelphia. For he rebukes them all and warns them and suggests what they should do to get right. Our focus is upon the church of Laodicea. The 7th church. But some theologians have said that this was more than just seven churches in a 60-mile radius. But these are seven times or dispensations or periods of time that the church had gone through. And the church of Laodicea represents the time in which we live right now. For this is the church that makes Jesus sick. This is the church that Jesus can't get in. The church of Laodicea. If you don't mind, if you got your Bible, you need to follow me here. In the third chapter, around the 14th verse. You would do well to study this in your own time, but he calls the angel of the church, which is not a heavenly messenger, but an earthly messenger, the pastor of the church. He calls the angel, he says, I want you to write this down, for Jesus is the Amen. The faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. And he says this, as he says to all of them, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. You're just the right temperature to make me sick. I don't know about you, but I've had iced coffee. I've had hot coffee. I've had iced tea. I've had hot tea. I prefer them, but if it gets lukewarm or tepid, it makes me sick. I can't drink hot coffee, lukewarm coffee, lukewarm tea. He says, the temperature, I wish you were cold because I could work with you then. I wish you were hot, then you would be giving me praise. But you're neither cold nor hot. You're just lukewarm. You're mid-range. You're complacent. You've shifted to neutral. I could even deal with you if you were in reverse. I could deal with you if you were in drive, but you're in neutral. You've shifted to neutral, and you're going through the motions of being church-like. You are what's called so-called Christian. You come in church every Sunday out of duty, out of habit, out of routine. But you leave here unchanged. Because you go back and you do all the stuff that you want to do. And the word of God is not motivating you to get better, to go forward, to get hot in the Lord. Even if you were cold, we could do something with you. But you're lukewarm. The lukewarm church is the tolerant of sin church. The everything goes church. Complacency, to be content with one's own self. Self-satisfied is a dangerous place to be. They say in this church, well, I got saved a long time ago. I got baptized when I was a child. But you live like hell all your life. There you go again. He accepted Christ at an early age. That's some junk. Because a whole lot of weed been smoked since then. A lot of alcohol has been drank. A lot of curse words have come out the mouth. Yeah. A lot of fornication has taken place. Watched a lot of pornography since that time. Amen. But you set your Christ at an early age. Where are they at now? You see, I have to be real about this. I have to tell you like it is. Some of the meanest folk I've ever met is in the church. And you know me, I was in a motorcycle club for a great number of years. Some cutthroat Negroes, amen. But some of the meanest, stingiest, nastiest, low-down folk is in the church. Some of them in the pulpit. And that's the church that makes Jesus sick. Live in a time of the mega church, the big church, church that's full. Beautiful church. I had a lot of people making compliments to me the other day, coming here for the first time. Said, "This is a beautiful building you got. A beautiful church." And I'm nice. I said, "Thank you. Thank you very much." And we're trying to give it some curb appeal. Amen. And it's the Lord's house. It ought to be clean. But that don't move me. It wouldn't move Jesus neither. Matthew 23:27. Jesus talk about the hypocrites, the Pharisees, and he says, "You're like white sepulchres. You're like marble graves.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Beautiful outward, but inside full of dead men's bones." It ain't the beauty of the building, it's the beauty of the people in the building that makes the building beautiful. I've seen a lot of white cemetery stones and marble mausoleums that are beautiful, but inside are full of dead men's bones. The Lord wants people who are beautiful on the inside, who love with genuine love, because they've been changed by the power of God. Let me tell you something. You can't change yourself. You cannot write yourself a ticket to get in heaven. As a matter of fact, you can't write yourself a ticket and get on an airplane. Amen. They might issue it through the computer or whatever, but it better be their airline, amen, with their barcode, or you can't get on. I don't know why people think they can live any kind of way they want to, and everybody die, go to heaven. That's some junk. Hell is waiting for a whole lot of folk in the church. And if you believe there is a heaven, you better believe there's a hell. And heaven is not as easy to get in as some of you think. You think because you joined the church, because you got baptized, because you tithe about four times a year, you think you're going to heaven when you die? Because you sung in the choir or served on the usher board till your feet got to bothering you? Don't mean nothing. That's the church that make me and Jesus sick. He says, "I spew you out of my mouth. You make me sick to my stomach." He says, because, verse 17, "because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." You don't even know. You jacked up and don't know it. You see, the history tells us that in 60 A.D., the church of Laodicea, an earthquake came and destroyed the city. And while it was under Roman rule, they told the Roman government, "Don't worry about it. We got money. We can rebuild our own city." Because, you see, they were rich. They had herds of black sheep, and they sold that black wool and made garments, and then they had medicines there. They made an eye salve for the eye in Laodicea, and they were rich. The church of today, the church of this modern time, is rich. The Mormon church, the Catholic church, they're rich, and a whole lot of Baptist churches are rich. They're like that whited sepulchres with dead folk bones. Because they got sissies directing the choir. Sissies in the choir. Men in the down low in the pulpit. Dead man bones. Folks sit up on Sunday listening to snake talk. Talking about you all right. God is good all the time, God is good. But you a wreck. That's why I'm glad you're here, because I want to tell you how messed up you really are. I ain't trying to make you happy. I'm trying to get you to be holy. If you want to get happy, go to McDonald's and get a happy meal. Get you some fries, get you a shake. Just say, "I'm happy." That's all it takes to make you happy. I don't want happiness. I want some joy. I want something down on the inside of me. The church said, I'm rich. Don't need nothing. Don't need Jesus. What? Do you not know that we live in a time that some churches don't need Jesus? They don't preach Jesus. Yesterday, after the homegoing of Brother Moore, a lady came up to me and she said, you know what, you took me back to Mississippi. And I said, I did? She said, yeah. I'm used to that. When down home, see, the preacher would preach Jesus died upon the cross, buried, and rose the third day. I said, ma'am, that's called the gospel. We preach that every Sunday here. She said, I've been going to church. I haven't been hearing that. I said, you're going to come into the wrong church. But not only will you hear the gospel, I'll tell you about your low-down sins up in here too. We live in a time where people in the church are addicted to sex. Addicted to money. They don't have none. They just want it. And I told you, there's nothing wrong with you wanting nice things, but you can't let nice things have you. Let Jesus have you. You will find out that your wants will change, because when you got Jesus living on the inside of you, you don't need everything. I'm not in competition with nobody. I ain't trying to impress you with nothing, because I ain't got nothing. But I got Jesus. He's more than enough. I'm sick of folk in the church trying to impress somebody with them. I ain't impressed with you. God ain't impressed with you. Jesus ain't impressed with you. And ain't nobody else impressed with you. They just ain't told you to your face. They don't care nothing about the kind of car you drive or the clothes you wear. You living in an illusion. Like old folks say, ain't nobody studying you. A lukewarm church is an insincere church, an indifferent church, church where people show love occasionally, and therefore they're casual, occasional, so-called Christians, not real Christians. Just neutral. That's why there's ain't nothing wrong with homosexuality, you know, and to their son or their daughter become a lesbian, amen. Ain't nothing wrong with abortion until your child get pregnant, then you, oh well, we gotta get an abortion, amen. And, sin is sin, it still stinks. You cannot have the Lord Jesus Christ living inside of you. And do anything you want to do. It won't happen. Which tells me to tell you, a lot of you in here are not saved. You're under the illusion because you did something that you thought was worthy of salvation. But the fact that you keep doing the same stuff over and over again is a good indication you have never been saved. And I need to tell you that, because you think you are. You think you all right. Don't you die. Don't you slip in the shower. Don't you bust your head. Hell waiting on you. The most hopeless people of all are people who regard salvation is something that they acquired by their own power, by their own strength, by their own might. There are people in the church who have joined the church, who have gotten baptized, who did what we told them to do, but never really opened up their heart to let Jesus come in. There are a lot of people who came to the church and came to Christ because of fear. And fear will drive you to church, but fear won't keep you in the church. Fear will drive you there, but only the love of Christ will keep you here. And if you don't fall in love with Jesus, anything goes. You have a friend, you tell me, I had a friend and he used to cheat on his wife a lot, and every now and then he was in another relationship and so forth, and then I was trying to witness to him, and I told him, I said, man, don't you feel bad? He said, sometimes I do, but I just kind of shake myself and then I'm all right. You do what? Yeah, I feel bad. I'm cheating on my wife now. I know she's making all my bills. She's taking care of my kid and everything. So when I feel bad, I just kind of shake myself. And that makes it okay. Are you delusional? Are you crazy? But some of you are doing the same thing. You fornicate. You lie. You cheat. You hold grudges against people. You're hateful, evil, full of hell. And when you get filled up, you just shake yourself. Come to church, put $2 in the offering, and you feel good, then. I kind of tickled myself that time. Because that's what folks do. They don't tithe. They tried it a couple of times, but it didn't work because you just see the window of heaven open up and give you a Cadillac. Hey, man, ain't that a mess? Some of you just need bus tickets. Amen. You hear me? Because if you got a Cadillac, you'd ride right past this church down the freeway. I don't know why it is, but it seemed like the people who do the least in the church want the church to do the most for them. That's a fact. The people who give the least want to get the most out the church. Pay my light bill, pay my gas bill, pay this, pay that. If you paid your tithes, God would make sure that let me tell you something. You want to know the secret to financial blessings? Give God 10% of your earnings. Give him your heart, give him your mind, your soul, but give him 10%. That way you get in on the divine favor of God. And once you get in on his favor, don't you move, baby. I don't care if bills come, if they shut the lights off, you stay right there and keep giving that 10%. You just keep on doing it. But once you get that favor, he will not take it from you. Sometimes you need to have the lights cut off. You need to have the water cut off, but you need Jesus. He didn't say this life would be easy. Nowhere in the Bible does he say, understand me. He just says, trust me. He said, you say you're rich, increase with good, that you don't need nothing. Have you been online? I go online and I check out some of the mega churches, especially in the South. They got some huge churches. Beautiful, beautiful edifices. They just built a wonderful, some biggest football stadium holding anywhere from 5,000 to 15,000 folk, and they're crammed in there, and all they hear is, this is my Bible. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. You full of hell and sin. The Lord is good all the time. All the time the Lord is good. But you full of mess. Wretched. Miserable. Poor. Blind. Naked. Jesus described the church of Laodicea. He said, I counsel you. This is my counsel to you. He said, buy of me gold tried in the fire. He said, you can't get this at Kmart. You can't get this at Walmart. You got to come to me. Myers don't sell this. He said, get you some gold from me. What he means is, I got something that money can't buy. I have something that's priceless. It's called faith. And it's gold, because if you melt it down, it's still gold. As a matter of fact, it's pure gold. It'll stand the fires of tests and trials. You need to get it from me. You need faith in the Lord. Now, that's what's wrong with the church. The church is faithless.
That's the church that makes Jesus sick. The church don't have no faith. And let me tell you something. If the church don't believe in miracles, they'll never see it. If the church don't believe in the power of prayer, they won't get a prayer through. If the church don't believe in divine healing, won't nobody get healed. If the church don't believe in heaven and Jesus, everybody in the church going to hell. It's by faith. The just shall live by faith. You don't have none. Jesus has an awesome supply of it. You say you don't need nothing. You need Jesus. You know, my devotional hymn is, I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour, I need thee. Oh, bless me now. My Savior, I come to thee. I was working on my computer the other day. And it slowed down to a snail's crawl. And I went into the working of the tools and found where I can defrag the hard drive. And I began to delete some of the things that I don't need anymore, trying to speed up the computer. And if you know, if you ever went through that defragmentation process, it's rather lengthy. And while I was waiting on it, the Lord spoke to me and he said, you ought to do the same thing with your soul. You've got some things that you need to repent of, Twyman. Some things you said, some things you saw, some things you did you shouldn't have did. You've got some things on your hard drive of your soul that you need to get off and you need to repent. I got down on my face. And ask God to forgive me for everything he put on my heart and my mind. And I consider myself a blessed man, a righteous man. But if I have to do that, what about you? I continually try to clean my hard drive. Get things out of the way that will hinder me from moving swiftly in the way God would have me to move. I don't want sin to slow me down. We need to live in a repentive mode where we're not only telling God, I'm sorry, I'm wrong, but Lord, I'm changing to walk in the direction you would have me to walk. And as much as I am blessed, I still ain't nothing. He's everything, and I need him. I don't know how any church cannot preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know how a church could think that they're all right with the Lord and Jesus can't even get in it. A church that makes Jesus sick because the church is full of people who are hypocrites. It's a compromising church, a sex-addicted church, a money-hungry church, accommodating church, a church that is repulsive to Jesus Christ, wrapped up in material things, a worldly church. That's what's wrong. Some of you are just worldly. Remember the time we used to dress up when we came to church? We wanted to come to God with our very best. Now some folks dress up for the cabaret and dress down coming to church. Well, I just want to be comfortable. I don't want you to be comfortable, especially with your low-down sinful self. If I didn't name your sin, I'm getting to it. Don't worry. Quit trying to impress people. They're not impressed with you. Impress God by living holy. Follow peace and holiness, for without no man shall see the Lord. God wants you to be holy. Every now and then,
Sometimes I'm driving along, and sometimes I just ask myself, I stop in the middle of a day and I say, Lord, am I living holy at this moment? Am I doing anything that glorifies you, that blesses you? Many times I'm not, and I'm saying, Lord, I got to stop. I got to pull over. I got to praise you. I got to thank you for all you've done for me. I don't want to wait till I'm sick. I don't want to wait till I'm not feeling well. I want to praise him while I feel good. I have never had a day that I didn't have cause to thank God for what he's doing. I'm thankful to him every day. And I still ain't nothing. But he's everything. I need him every second. Every minute, every hour of the day. And you do too, don't you know it? Let me. I got to hurry up. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Clear your hard drive. Move quickly. Be zealous. Repent. Quit lying to yourself, talking about you got it all and you got everything and you're living large and you're comfortable. Quit telling us that you need Jesus. He says, behold, I stand at the door knocking because I can't get in my own church. But he goes from the general down to the individual. And he says, if any man open the door, that's you, that's me. He makes this thing personal. Said he's been trying to get in your life. He's been knocking on the door of your heart. I shared this the other day in Bible study. I said that years ago when I was riding in the motorcycle club, I had a motorcycle that I had customized and had raked the front end and put that long front end and had them pulled back bars, and you couldn't tell me nothing. I had a Harley Davidson wheel on the back of a Honda 750 and it would move too. And when I rode, I looked cool. Oh yeah, I looked cool. One night I was leaving the clubhouse, and whether I was high, I don't remember now, but I don't know, but I was leaving the clubhouse and I was looking cool riding, and a car was coming toward me and he turned in front of me. And I couldn't stop. I hit the hood and went over the whole car. Now my bike, I had named my bike Baby. Oh, Baby was fine. It was a sharp bike. When EMS came to scrape me up off the pavement, I looked over my shoulder at my motorcycle. Baby was bleeding. Gasoline was running out the tank. Oil was spewed on the ground. I said, oh, baby. The EMS said, what about you? I said, yeah, but my motorcycle. They scooped me up and took me to the hospital. They called my wife and she ran there. They called my club member. They came by my side because I didn't have no church then. Sometimes it seems that those fellows are more faithful than some Christians. I don't know what it is about folk in the church, but I remember when I got out. Some of my friends had tried to get me to smoke some weed, and I would drink a little wine, but I wouldn't smoke any weed at that time. But this is what I said to myself. Now listen, God is knocking at the door. This is how I answered. You cannot come in. I almost died. I had a fractured coccyx bone. Tailbone. I couldn't sit down. I had to sit down on a little pillow. That wasn't a proud thing to do. I was a bad man. Sitting on a little inflatable pillow. Because my butt hurt. God kicked my butt and I was still acting like a fool. And I said, you know what? I've never smoked no weed. I've never did these drugs. I'm going to do everything because I almost died. Ain't that stupid? That's how stupid I was. That's how stupid some of you have been. You've been near death. God.
God is still knocking. You've had breakups, heartbreaks. You've been abused. You've been hurt. You've been accused. You've been embarrassed. You've been on a roller coaster of emotions. And through all of that, God has been knocking, trying to get your attention, to get you to open the door to your heart. Because only you can open up that door to let Jesus in. He said, I stand at the door knocking, but the handle is on the inside. There's no doorknob. He cannot get in unless you open the door. He cannot get in unless you open that handle, open up that door and say, come in and save me. You see, let me tell you something else. There were some friends that were trying to keep me from getting saved. Every time I say I ain't smoking weed no more, they come by the house with some weed. Some good weed too. Y'all laugh because y'all know what good weed is. Amen. Acapulco gold weed. You know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all got some right now. Amen. Some roller coaster weed. That kind that take you up, take you down, take you back up again. That kind of weed that makes you stop in the middle of the block thinking you at the stop sign and you're in the middle of the block. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, wait for the light to change and the light way down yonder. People in the back be just blowing their horn. Don't you see that light up there? That kind of weed. That's what I'm talking about. I mean, we're in the most circle. We used to have weed rolling contests. I could roll a joint with one hand like a cowboy. Y'all laugh because I was low down. Amen. But Jesus kept knocking. I knew where the handle was because I had let some low down, low life to people get into my heart before. Have you ever let some low life to people in your heart? People didn't mean you no good. You fell in love with them. Have you ever had people like that? See, you know where the handle is. People you trusted with secrets that you shouldn't have trusted. People who were low down, but you didn't know they were low down at the time, and you let them get close to you and they hurt you. You know where the handle is. Some of your friends, some of your relatives, could be your parents, trying to keep you out, trying to keep Jesus out of your life. I've had folk tell me, and when I told them I got saved, and man, come on, let's go here. I don't go there no more. Oh, man, it don't take all that. Yes, it does. Oh, man, my whole family of Christians, they go do this all the time. No. God has a certain standard. And then with the standard, he sends the Holy Ghost to help you. Oh, you need the Holy Ghost. See, you can't pretend your way into heaven. Jesus has to come in. He has to come in. He said, I'll come in and sup with you. I'll come in and have fellowship with you. You see, back in the Eastern time, if somebody ate dinner with you, they were close. That was sincere fellowship. Jesus said, I'll come in and commune with you and have fellowship with you. I'll sup with you. And you'll overcome because I overcame. Because he'll help you. All you need is help. He's knocking. Let him in. How many times? You know, and then you need to do it while you're young, because when you get old, you can't hear the knocks no more. You become hearing impaired. You can't hear him knocking no more. He's still knocking, but you can't hear him because you done got settled in your old low-down sinful ways. And you think you all right because you done learned 6 scriptures and you done gave some money to the church and you sung in the choir for 3 years and then got out and stood on the usher board till your feet got to bothering you. And you think you all right now. No, you ain't. Have you ever stopped and asked yourself, am I serving the Lord at this moment?
Am I worshiping him? Am I thanking him? Am I praising him at this moment? You need to do that because I have to do it all the time. I'm determined to see Jesus. I'm determined. You know what? I had some friends that were pastors who would do almost anything. I don't have them no more. I don't hang with them guys. You don't see me with a lot of pastors. Low-life folk in the pulpit. Then sometimes you rub up against them. They want to see what your agenda is. And I have an agenda of holiness. I don't do that mess. I got one wife of 41 years. That's all I need. She more woman than I can handle. I'm telling you the truth. I don't know what's wrong with our world. There ain't no time to be playing church. Jesus trying to get in. He said, I rebuke you because I love you. And that's why I preach like I do. I want to see you go to heaven. When you lay it out in front of here, I don't want to hope you got there. I want to know you got there. By how you give, how you live, by the sacrifices you make. This is what I'm talking about. The brother, he told him that I want to work with the audio ministry of the church. And they took him back there in the tape room. Said, well, you got to make tape. You may have to stay about 30 minutes sometime, as long as maybe even an hour after church. He said, oh, I can't do this then. I got to go home and watch football. What? Well, you might as well, because there ain't no television down in hell. And if you can't sacrifice 30 minutes on Sunday when you're already here to stay afterwards and service people and service God, then you're on your way to hell. You are not born again. That's a clear indication that you didn't get it. Well, I want to do something. I don't have nothing to do around the church. Get you a rake, get you a bag, take some of them leaves up out there. And I ain't paying you for it either. Now some folk will not do nothing unless they're getting a paycheck or getting some type of stipend for it. Serve the Lord with gladness. I know y'all about sick of me now. I'm sorry, man. I wish you had faith. I wish you had the faith to believe God. I've got some people who've been sitting up under me for years, don't do nothing. All they do is sit. Never served in any capacity. And if they did it for 2 minutes, they got bored, they got tired, they quit doing it. They don't serve, but they want to be served. I got some folk, the only time they really want to come to church when somebody dies so they can get a meal at the repast. But they don't want to work in the kitchen. And then I'm suspect that some of y'all in the kitchen, sometimes I think y'all in there so y'all can take some extra food home too. Y'all think I don't know that. Whole lot of chicken then walked out of here. Amen. Let me just tell you, Lord, I might well, I'm up here now, I might well. Church anniversary. Brother Aiken said, I need $3,000. For some salads? And then you run out of chicken? Macedonia don't run out of chicken. Colonel Sanders might run out of chicken. Churches, Popeye might. We don't run out of chicken. Not up in here. Well, Pastor, everything's accountable. Everybody got a receipt. Yeah. You see what you did when you got the ingredients to make your salad? You got some for you. You got some for the church. And made the church pay for it. I know how y'all do. Y'all ain't fooling me. I mean, that's just a long time. You need to get saved. Preach, Holy Ghost. When it gets tired, I blame it on the Holy Ghost. That's what we preachers do. Preach, Holy Ghost. That's why we take the offering for our preach. Amen. I ain't crazy. I know what to do. You know what a handle is. You're dangerous. Because you sit up in church thinking you own your way to heaven.
because you went through the rituals. They told you that you needed to confess Christ. You did that. Told you need to get baptized. You did that. But they tell you to serve the Lord and you can't do that because you have to do that under His power, by grace and through faith. You have to be born again. See, a lot of you accepted Jesus Christ up here in your head but never got down in your heart. But it's not the door to your mind that needs to be open. It's the door to your heart that needs to be open. If you fall in love with your head, it's called infatuation. When you fall in love with your heart, it's called love. I'm infatuated with Jesus. I love Jesus. He owns my heart. He's all I need. He's everything I need, and I need Him every hour. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee not only when I'm sick, not only when I don't feel good, not only when things are getting bad. I need You when things are good. And when things get bad, I can handle it. When things get rough, I can handle it because He puts me in a place where I can handle it. He's done so much for me. I just can't tell it all. I just can't tell it all. And there's never been a time that I've not trusted Him since He saved this wretched soul. See, I got down to the bottom, but I heard the knocking. And I didn't want to die and go to hell. And then I realized for the first time what He had done for me. He actually loved me enough. God sent His Son to die for me. And for the first time, I read in the Bible, not so much that Jesus came to this world and died for me. That love came and died for me. They took love and beat Him with a cat of nine tails. Whipped Him till He didn't look like a man. They took love and hung Him up on a cross on a hill called Calvary. They took love and nailed His hands, nailed His feet, put a crown of thorns on His head. They took love and pierced Him in the side. Love died for me up on the cross. They took love down and put Him in a borrowed tomb. And love stayed there Friday and all day Saturday, but love rose up on Sunday morning. I'm talking about Jesus. My rock in a weary land. My Rose of Sharon. My promises are not tomorrow. He's everything to me. He rose and conquered sin, death, and the grave. Love sits at the right hand side of God right now, making intercession for me. If I look foolish praising Him, I'll just be foolish. But I'm going to praise Him because He saved my wretched soul. You couldn't have done it. Mama couldn't have done it. Daddy couldn't have done it. Jesus did it. He saved me. And for that I love Him. Because I couldn't save myself. The handle on the inside, and I got hold to the handle. The door had been shut so long it creaked on the hinges, but it came open. And Jesus rushed in. Been there ever since. I can't let Him out. I need Him every hour. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee. Because nobody else can help me when I'm feeling sad. Nobody else can help me when I'm hurting on the inside. Nobody else can get me to clean my hard drive and to keep me functioning in the way I should function. Nobody but You, Jesus. All to Jesus I surrender. I surrender. Oh, that's what I did. I opened the door. I threw out the white flag. And I said, I give up. I can't live no more like this. Oh, I mean, I was a wretch. A weed head, a drunk. An abuser. I abused my wife. I abused everybody. But he saved me. Because I got hold to the handle. And I ain't ashamed of it. Don't you sit here ashamed to get saved. Don't you sit here thinking that you're all right and you're on your way to hell. You give your life to Jesus. This might be your last chance. The handle is on the inside. Open up the door. He said here, come in. He wouldn't lie to you. I'm going to heaven. If everybody I love don't go, I'm on my way. What about you? Stand to your feet. The door to the church is open.